He does the research, analyzes the data, and checks the variables. He even submits his findings for peer review. He's the only man with a lab coat made entirely from NFL bed sheets. He's data scientist Eric Eager of Pro Football Focus. Only on the program.
We're talking Chiefs football in the 5 o'clock hour here in the program. We are live at Rally House. It's the Sports Radio 810 tailgate takeover. You can come down and get some great, great food here at Rally House. Of course, everything you need if you're going to be doing some tailgating this weekend, all the supplies that you can need. Need a Chiefs cutting board? They got it. Need a Chiefs cooler? They got it. Need a Chiefs spatula? They got it. A tumbler, whatever you might need. Maybe it's for hot chocolate this weekend. A little something in it, you know what I'm saying? Whatever you need, they got it here at your neighborhood Rally House. We're at their superstore at 9750 Quivira Road. So come down and get stocked up for your tailgate. You need your cold weather Chiefs gear. They got that. Every kind of hoodie and coat and jacket and pullover you could want. Stocking caps, numerous ones. We're signing people up to win a pair of Chiefs tickets to the AFC Championship game. And every hour we're drawing a name for a $50 gift card to Rally House. Just drew a name. Rudy just pulled a name out. So make sure you get signed up for that. And, of course, you can't have a tailgate takeover unless you got food. I want to thank our friends from Mr. Beavis. They do phenomenal catering. In fact, they were out catering for the grounds crew today out at Arrowhead. And I was looking at some of the photos of the brisket and all the things they've done. We got great classic tailgate fare here for you, so you can grab some food on your way home if you want while you do some shopping. Here, they're cooking up some pork sliders, wonderful sausage. I think maybe the best sausage I've ever had. What a wonderful sausage that was. Who doesn't like sausage? Who doesn't like sausage?
I love sausage.
This is kind of the sausage that melts in your mouth, you know what I mean? I'm not kidding, really. You can take it down whatever road you want to go with that comment, but I mean it in its most purest form. It's phenomenal. And we'll just give you some here, thanks to our friends at Mr. Beavis. Also got the smoked bologna, which I am now trying. That is fantastic as well. You can find them on Facebook at Mr. Beavis Catering is where you will find them. So thanks to all the guys who are cooking out front. Enjoy some great food while you're coming in here and getting stocked up for everything you need for your Chiefs enjoyment this weekend and really forever. Because they literally have everything you could want here at Rally House, including 40% off their clearance rack. Take advantage of that. Got some cheap stuff on there as well. And, of course, they will be the first ones to have your next round playoff merchandise. You know what I mean. Sunday, if the Chiefs win, the doors come open right after the game, and you can get it here. And they'll sell it all. That's how it usually works. They'll blow through it all. That night when they run out, they'll probably shut the doors down. But then Monday, starting like before you even get up, the trucks are going to start arriving again on Monday. Everybody gets a little taste shipment, basically, I think is how it is. They get a huge one when you've got a superstore like this. And so they'll have a bunch of gear, but it'll go really fast. But then on Monday, like almost on the hour, every hour, trucks with more styles, more stuff will be arriving. So make sure whether you're getting here now, I would say get here now and get here later, but you could be winning tickets to the AFC Championship game here at Rally House, 9750 Quivira. Let's talk Chiefs football. Eric Eager is with us from Pro Football Focus. He joins us here on our Sprint guest line, brought to you by our friends at E. Edwards Workwear. Mr. Eager, sir, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. Excited for this weekend of football.
That's right, and you're going to travel into Kansas City. Do I have that correct? That's your plan? You're going to make the trek and be on site for Pro Football Focus to make sure we get some good grades finally out of Pro Football Focus? Is that what we're saying?
That's right. That one would call it maybe a pilgrimage of sorts.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. I like that. Looking forward to that for you getting here. And what do you think? You astutely call. Let's go back and tell me what was going through your head after broadcasting with us last week and saying that the Chiefs were the most likely team to win in that round of the playoffs, and they're looking at 24-0 down. What was going through your head, man?
Hey, well, I was looking really good after the Titans beat the Ravens, right, because everybody thought the Ravens were the best team in the NFL. I think I was watching the game in a separate room, and my wife comes in, and I'm basically just, like, motionless there, and she asked me what was happening, and I just pointed at the TV. And then literally the next time she came back in, they had the lead. So luckily, if you're a Chiefs fan, you know, the first quarter and a half was, you know, fairly rough, but it didn't last very long. And neither did the Texans defense.
So in my house, my oldest daughter came down to eat with all of us that were watching the game. And at 14-0, she declared that, well, this is an embarrassment, because she's already learned the culture of futility that comes with being a Chiefs fan. And so she fires that out. At 21-0, my wife loaded the two kids up and took them out of the house. Said, all right, let's go. We're going to go do crafts because these Yahoos downstairs. By the way, and the Yahoos include my mom. We were all downstairs losing our mind, and she's like, we got to go. We're getting the hell out of here. And it wasn't until I texted her, I said, it got to 41. When it got to, I go, it's 41-24 now. And then she came back. So, you know.
Yeah. When did you think it was safe? I think I probably texted you, what, 41-24? Maybe once it got to 48.
Yeah, but, I mean, know, I. Didn't you feel good, though, about how the defense was playing? I mean, I know what you're saying. Like, when was it on ice? When was it done? Yeah, I think 41-24. At 34-24, you know, you could still see a scenario or something goofy happening. At 41-24 is when I felt like, okay, they're moving on. I'm curious, when did you think that they've got a shot?
Oh, well, because as I told you, I was always a little concerned about their defense. The touchdown that Houston got in the first drive was so easy. And, you know, I still have a little bit of PTSD from last year's game in the playoffs. So I was a little worried there. But when I saw, you know, obviously Sorensen scraping over the top of that fake punt and making a brilliant tackle, that certainly was encouraging. But I got to think it was with Darwin Thompson. Had that, you know, fumbled kickoff return, didn't know what to do with it at first, and then, you know, scampered inside the 10-yard line. I thought that was when the Chiefs were, you know, because they were getting the ball to start the second half at least, I thought they were 100% in business.
Yeah, it was, you could just feel the momentum building. You could feel Arrowhead. Just wanted one thing to go well. Mecole Hardman's kickoff kind of started getting that fever going again, and it was just, it was, I think it's the most incredible Chiefs game I've ever seen. You got one that would top it?
Positively, no. You know, like, yeah. I people, like, it was the sort of misleading thing where people are like, oh, it's the first team to ever be down 21-0 in the first, you know, quarter and come back and win in the playoffs. I'm like, yeah, the Colts win, you know, at Lucas Oil was even worse because they were down 28 the second half to get back and won. You know what I mean? Like, at least the Chiefs gave themselves three quarters to, you know, come back and get the victory. So, you know, no, I mean, they've had some, you know, pretty – obviously, if they would have come back and won the AFC title game last year, that would have been pretty nice, you know, being down 14 at halftime. But, no, I mean, this – the Chargers opening week of 2016 was also pretty cool. They were down three touchdowns in the second half. But, you know, no, I mean, given the stakes of this game, the fact that they – you know, at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, we're like, they have a chance to host the AFC title game to, we're going to have to watch Houston, Tennessee next week, or, you know, and then finally, you know, getting that home game. I thought it was, you know, one of the more, you know, awesome games in NFL history, let alone Chiefs history.
Yeah, I listen. And now they've got to, I think we've still got a bit of a hangover as fans from that game. The question is, does a team have a hangover? Are there any numbers that say, hey, you come from that kind of, you know, that return, then you're going to have a big letdown the next week? Or is it the other way around, that when you can face down that kind of imminent failure and come back to not only win but win big, is that a sign that no one's going to touch you now?
Well, I don't think there aren't really – I mean, there are some letdown spots, but generally speaking, those are against the spread. And even then, they're pretty much noise. I think when you're a Chiefs fan, I think that the preceding games to this one and the way that Andy Reid acted on Sunday are – there's nothing but confidence I have going in, right? The fact that they've lost four consecutive games to Tennessee, the fact that – you know, the thing I was most worried about in that game, frankly, was when they went into halftime ahead, I thought there was a little bit – of Andy Reid kind of taking his foot off the, you know, how we saw against the Chargers, how we saw against Tennessee the first time, how we saw against New England, where he sort of, you know, will play a little bit safe and let these teams back in, and to Reed's credit, he absolutely did the exact opposite and continued to pour it on. I think that the same thing's true. I think he, you know, the message to his team this week is, look, any of these teams, even these bunk AFC South teams, can beat you. And, you know, and you have to, and when you get ahead, we are not relenting. We saw what happened last season. We had a lead in the fourth quarter against the Patriots twice and gave it up both times. You had an 18-point lead in the playoffs against Marcus Mariota, who's not half the quarterback that Ryan Tannehill's playing like right now, and Derrick Henry, and gave it up at home. Like, you know, I think that some of those things will be exercised now that the Chiefs had this scare in the first quarter plus of Sunday's game.
Is there any chance, and should Andy Reid take that second quarter and say, here's a reason to almost never run the ball again?
Yeah, my colleague was tweeting out, he said, like, the Chiefs have scored seven consecutive touchdowns and they run the ball to the running back seven times over that stretch. And certainly it's a little bit facetious, right, because if you're a team that doesn't have Patrick Mahomes, you know, running the football certainly, I think, is a way to change it up. But when Mahomes is going well, there's not a whole lot of defense to do, especially, you know, and I know you laughed at me last week, but, like, when your fifth best option on offense is Sammy Watkins, that's a pretty solid, like, you know, he can, you know, that's a backbreaker. And last week they only gave four targets to Tyreek Hill. But Travis Kelce, even though he was hurt during the week, you know, took 13, you know, targets, made 10 catches, three touchdowns. He stepped up, right? DeMarcus Robinson got himself open. He, you know, couldn't catch a cold, but, you know, he was there. And then, you know, Mecole Hardman, he did his thing on kickoff returns. On the, you know, the last time they played the Titans, he had that terrific touchdown on the play. Mahomes did the jump pass. So there's so many threats for them that it's a disappointment, frankly, when they turn around and hand the ball to McCoy or Williams.
And by the way, Sammy Watkins had some big plays in that game, and I did laugh. We did have a ha-ha about it. But you're right. Your point is 100% valid. He's a very explosive player and can make big plays. We saw the game against the Jaguars. I don't know. Maybe they don't win that game if he doesn't step up and have the game he had. So, listen, he does have potential. He just doesn't have that consistency that you'd like. But you mentioned something, like when you have Patrick Mahomes, right? And that's, to me, one of the things that – if I were to say, okay, here's, you know, Andy Reid, I think, would be honest and say, yeah, there are things we can get better at. Now, maybe means his team, but I'll say with him, don't you get the sense, and I tweeted this a couple of times, that Andy Reid still needs to come to grips with the fact that he has Patrick Mahomes, that, like, I'm fine if you do trick plays, right? But, you know, it's also fine if you never run a trick play because you have Patrick Mahomes, right? Just send anywhere from three to five guys out into the pattern and let that kid drop back. He'll find the guy that's open. And when the Sammy Watkins reverse pass came around, I almost – that scared the hell out of me. Now, to Watkins' credit, it wasn't there, and he ate it. Now, he should have thrown it away, but he's not a quarterback. That's part of what happens, why you get bad things sometimes happening on trick plays. We all love the trick plays when they work, but when they don't, you're an idiot. And trick plays – is it, should they all be taken out of the playbook if you're Andy Reid? Because you don't need it. You've got a guy who, just by giving him good route combinations, will beat anybody in football already.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, what did New England do to score the points they did against the Chiefs? They ran a flea flicker, and they ran a running
half
back
pass, option,
right?
Yeah,
and that's because they stink on offense, right? That's what they have to do. Why does Ryan Tannehill, to his credit, is averaging almost 14 yards per pass attempt on play action this year? Why does that matter? Because if you don't do razzle-dazzle stuff with Tannehill, he's probably going to stink, right? Mahomes, it's different, right? Mahomes can beat you straight up, right? He's an advantage player. So you don't have to do any tricks with him. You know, if there were a situation where, for example, Tennessee found a few things and their offense wasn't being efficient, then sure, run some trick plays. But aside from them simply not executing, for not catching the football, you know, there's not a whole lot that can stop the Chiefs. And even though Tennessee, I think, is far stronger defensively than Houston, they don't have a great pass rush. Their coverage players are just meh compared to the Chiefs, you know, receivers. And their linebackers, I think, are better run stuffers than they are coverage players, which, as we just talked about against the Chiefs, that's sort of meaningless because the Chiefs only run to sort of give their quarterback a break.
You mentioned we're talking to Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus, data scientist at Pro Football Focus. You mentioned that if you don't have Patrick Mahomes, then, right, you got to play it differently. The Titans don't have him, as you just detailed with Ryan Tannehill. Are they playing the smartest football that they can possibly play, right? Because we're in the middle of the whole throwing's more important than running part of the equation. But when you don't have him, is this an example of a team that doesn't have that Hall of Fame quarterback and is absolutely playing it the way you've got to play it?
Yeah, I would say, well, the thing is I think people are misunderstanding what the Titans are doing. You know, the Titans last week got 14-0, you know, a 14-0 lead on Baltimore before Derrick Henry even got to 30 yards rushing. They got some, you know, variance when Baltimore didn't convert a fourth down after they were perfect on it all season, and they went play action and threw a deep ball to Khalif Raymond, who was like a practice squad player for the majority of his career. And on the drive prior, it was really a brilliant catch by Jonnu Smith in the end zone where half his butt cheek hit the ground, right? And you know, that was Tannehill throwing. And then they get ahead, and then, yes, they pound the rock with Derrick Henry, and he's, you know, very difficult to take down. But they get the lead beforehand. And you look at these teams, the top three teams in expected points added per play since Tannehill took over, and granted, some of these games include Matt Moore, but it's Baltimore, Tennessee, then Kansas City. And Kansas City is the best over, I believe, the last 6 weeks. But you're talking about an offense, and also both, and this is telling, overall and passing. Tennessee is the second most efficient passing team in the NFL since Tannehill took over. And it's really him. It's the A.J. Browns of the world. Corey Davis has been okay. The tight ends have been fine. And an offensive line that can do a decent job blocking. They've moved the ball with the pass, and then they've gotten ahead of these teams, and then Derrick Henry has absolutely been the hammer. But, no, I think that, you know, Arthur Smith deserves a lot of credit. He's not as good as Reed, but he's doing a lot with, you know, relatively little compared to the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think I love your point about he had 30-whatever yards, and it was 14-0. They didn't get out to their lead because he was running. They get out to their lead because they're taking the ball away, and that's what they've done. Now, this is just Marty Schottenheimer football, right? That's what I said the Ravens are, and it's what the Titans are. It's great. It's great if you can be plus in the turnover differential, which over the course of 16 games you can do if it's what you focus on. You can be plus in the turnover differential, you know, in 11 or 12 games or maybe 10 games and be even in 2 or 3, be negative in 3. And maybe you lose all 3. You lose one that you're plus and you lose one or two that you're negative, and you've got an 11-5 season. The Titans this year was a 9-7 regular season, but you can do that. The problem is beating playoff caliber teams 3 or 4 times in a row. That doesn't work. You're going to lose in there somewhere. It's 6 and 8 come up on the dice more than any combination in craps other than 7, right? So you can play it, but a 2 and a 12, they come up too. And if you play long enough, eventually you're going to get stung. So winning one game and even 2 games isn't a reason to champion that this is a great team. It's a reason to understand that they have a great formula and they're committed to their formula, which I give them all the credit in the world. But it's a formula that just shouldn't work. It almost needs, like, the Titans, this Titan team, to play in like 10 playoffs. And I'll say, okay, yes, they should probably win one Super Bowl. Playing like this exact team, 10 times, there's probably one time or maybe 2 times that they should win it. But reality is they're going to have to overcome adversity at some point in this 4-game stretch. They haven't had to do that yet. All the adversity has been on the other side, and that's been the key to why they're here.
Absolutely, and you look at even the game the other day, right? So it looks like they got blown out. They lost 28-12, but, you know, you had a tip ball interception. You had 2 missed fourth down opportunities, one near midfield, one in the opponent's end of the field. You had an end of the half play where Jackson inexplicably like took 11 seconds to throw the ball away, and they had to kick a field goal after a great Hollywood Brown catch. Only one time all game did the Ravens punt the football, right? All their drives ended in Tennessee territory, and they somehow got 12 points. Now, as you just said, there's nothing saying that this can't happen again, other than it's very unlikely to happen again. So they, you know, the last game, if Tennessee's going to take anything out of that game, It's to get some luck, get some variance, and like you can, as you said, like back in the day, right? Like back when Marty was winning with Dave Craig and Steve DeBerg and those guys, Steve Bono and those guys, like they had a plus 100 and something turnover differential that decade. It's unreal. But guys don't turn the ball over that much anymore, and especially not Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes takes care of the football better than almost any quarterback in the NFL. So, you know, they're going to have to beat the Chiefs more, quote, straight up than they beat Baltimore last week. And it's just difficult to see.
Yeah, Yeah, it's going to take plus two in the turnovers, which means that somebody's probably going to have to fumble because Mahomes doesn't throw many picks or tip a ball, something like that. The one thing that I think does leave the door open is
they can't turn it over, and they can't turn it over either, you know.
No, absolutely, and that's part of the equation the other way. We need to take a break, so I want to take a break, and I want to come back and talk about special teams, and then I want to talk about how afraid you are that the Titans might win from a career standpoint. From a career standpoint, we'll do that with Eric Eager. Next, Pro Football Focus data scientist is with us. We're at Rally House. We're going to be drawing at 6 o'clock for a pair of tickets to the AFC Championship game. So you've still got time to get over here to 9750 Quivira Road in Lenexa to get signed up for that every hour. We still got another, I think we have one more for the $50 gift cards as well. So you still got time to get signed up for that. And we're going to be giving away a Frank Clark autographed football. That is coming up. That's courtesy of our friends at Tickets for Less. We're going to do all that here from Rye House. And, of course, what you can really do is get stocked up on all the best gear for the Chiefs. If you need cold weather gear, they got great coats and hoodies and hats and scarves and everything you need for going out, gloves, everything you need for going out to the tailgate, all the way down to even – dare I say, let me see who's around. She wouldn't understand it. They probably wouldn't get it. Chiefs underwear and even of the female variety. They have Chiefs tiny little women's underwear. You know, that's what I'll say. I'll say that. I mean, that's literally when I say everything that is Chiefs, that's what Rally House has. From teddy bears to small underwear. You know, they've got it all. At Rally House. So whether if you can't get here to this Rally House, just get to the Rally House closest to you. You can find it online at rallyhouse.com.
The program with Seren Petrov.
The 7 foot, 1 inch package of superhuman strength and sublime skill.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the good sense into the hour answer. Five teams have been held without an offensive touchdown in a Super Bowl, including the Rams last year. Who was the first? Offensive touchdowns.
No offensive touchdowns.
Yeah.
Somebody.
Well, this team didn't score any touchdowns at all, but there are two others that have. Three others that didn't score.
Colts beating the Cowboys?
You're off by a year.
So it would have been six then.
Mm-hmm.
Dolphins.
Yep, Dolphins against the Cowboys on this date in 1972.
Very good. No fist bump? No?
No.
Okay.
Redskins in 7, Bengals in 23, and the Giants in 35 scored touchdowns, but not offensive.
Not offensive touchdowns. Ah, very important, very important. A lot of people here at Rally House, Curtis.
Really?
Looking to win the tickets to the AFC Championship game. Still time for people to get signed up. By the way, Good Sense, what we were playing for there. Go to GoodSenseSubs.com. Make sure you get signed up for the Loyalty Club, 10% back. Slicing the meats and cheeses fresh right in front of you. Baking the bread fresh each day, twice each day, as a matter of fact. You can get some on your way home. Just go to GoodSenseSubs.com or open up that app. What I love, too, is it saves our order. So I can just, if it's the whole family, all four of us, or just whichever one of us, and boom, the order's in. I pick the time and I pick it up. It is awesome. Thanks to our friends at Good Sense. And I want to say hello. Our buddy JK is here. And Curtis, you will know this.
Mm-hmm.
He was good friends with David Lawrence. Good friends with our buddy David Lawrence, maybe the most iconic radio figure that we ever had.
Yeah,
in this city.
So, yeah, if there's a Mount Rushmore, certainly David Lawrence is.
It starts
is
with
on
him.
There. Yes,
you can argue about who the others are.
He's in the George Washington spot.
Yeah, he's number one. And you want to know how? Why? Because probably the guy, you know, and Mike Murphy would be a nominee for that. No doubt. There's a lot of others. I think my friend Johnny Dare would be on that. And the reason why you know David Lawrence is the one guy that you just chisel his face first is because Johnny Dare says David Lawrence is number one.
Yeah.
And so that's the case.
Another guy who might be on that list, our friend Max Floyd.
Yes, and Max.
Rock and Roll Hall of Famer.
Yes, absolutely.
Has been in this office, has been in this studio before.
Yeah, Max Floyd.
He's aces.
David Lawrence and Max Floyd might be the two nicest people I've ever met in my life.
My goodness.
They might be the two nicest people alive.
Yeah.
And so I know if JK's buddies with them, JK's good man as well. So it's good to have him hanging out with us here. And he's ready for the game, by the way. He's got the Chiefs pants on. He's got the Chiefs sweatshirt on. He is ready to rock and roll right now. So if the game breaks out, we're ready to celebrate. I got my sweet Dallas Texans AFL hoodie, which I love. I love that it also irritates some. It's not Kansas City. I know, but it's the history of your team, man.
Yeah, so what?
It's okay.
Also stylish, stylistically, it is awesome looking.
It is cool.
Yeah.
AFL patch on the sleeve. It looks like it's like real worn because it actually really is.
Yeah.
Because I've been wearing it for years. So, yeah, it's very cool. Eric Eager is with us from Pro Football Focus. He's on our Sprint guest line talking some football. All right, Eric, career-wise, are you worried? Because isn't this the ultimate matchup? If the Titans beat the Chiefs, aren't you and all your other brainiac nerds, smart guys that keep saying, throw the ball, quit running the ball, going to just have absolute egg on your face if the Titans win this game? Aren't the Chiefs really playing for your career, your standing in the athletic community?
Well, I was going to ask Curtis why he was trying to trigger me with all the winning playoff games without touchdowns. The last Chiefs game I went to was that 18-16 game against the Steelers 3 years ago.
Oh,
so, and I feel like that game was a similar one where, you know, Le'Veon Bell had 170 yards. The Chiefs, you know, Bob Sutton went and dime defense the whole game and, you know, said, you know, I'd rather take Le'Veon Bell for 5.5 a carry than Big Ben for 7.5 a pass. And ultimately they lost the game because they couldn't score. I think it would suck if the Titans just turned around and ran the ball the entire game and were somehow able to beat the MVP, the best quarterback in the game. I don't see that happening. And if the Titans were to beat the Chiefs, I think Tannehill is going to have to make enough plays, much like he did in the last time they won earlier in the season, where he, you know, just is flat out a good quarterback and taking advantage of a Chiefs defense that, you know, was on their heels a little bit, banged up quite a bit. Henry's certainly the hammer and can come in and, you know, be a player that can steal a lead. But I can't see Tennessee getting a lead and maintaining it just simply with the ground game. I do think that they're going to have to throw. And you know, even though people, I think, will try to spin it that way, the fact of the matter is the Titans were 2-4 coming off of a 60-0 loss to the Denver Broncos and Joe Flacco before they benched their quarterback. And that's when somehow Derrick Henry became Herschel Walker.
We do have to give it to the Titans. I mean, they did bench their quarterback. They did say this isn't working. They did go out and get a real alternative to go with in Ryan Tannehill. I mean, I'm a big Mike Vrabel fan because I'm having a chance to cover him and watch him be a – I actually enjoyed him being a grouch and kind of snapping at some of the other media guys. So, actually, when he was kind of a jerk at the end of his career, which he admitted to, he goes, yeah, I was a jerk. Did you see how I was playing? You know, and he told a great story in Tahoe about, you know, coming home from a game and his wife going, tough day, huh? And he goes, is it that obvious? She goes, yeah, it's that obvious. Like, that's when he knew it was time to hang it up. And so now as a coach, he's got a great sarcasm. And, you know, he actually says something. He doesn't just try to be a Bill Belichick clone, right? I think he's taking a little bit of Bill Belichick, a little bit of Urban Meyer. And so Mike Vrabel does scare me because I think he's going to be a really good football coach. But there's no reason to win. And if, like, I think your nightmare scenario is the Titans play -3 football and then shut the Chiefs out. Like, you might have to quit Pro Football Focus, right?
I might have to go back to teaching math to the taxpayers in the state of Wisconsin. That would be rough. As you can see, you know, and as supporters of Patrick Mahomes, that, you know, his stature with the Chiefs since the beginning, my proverbial boots are not shaking right now. I'm not exactly putting a whole lot of weight on that argument.
No, I think you're going to be safe on that one. Listen, the Titans should be commended, though, for, as I said, you know, they are doing what it is they can do, right? I think they're a great lesson because here's a team that's been 9-7 4 years in a row, and they're an interesting organization because they went 9-7 2 years ago and beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead, which, as we as Chiefs fans know, really up until maybe – well, even this year in the regular season, it wasn't that hard, right? They were they 500?
Yeah, the Chiefs have basically not won a game in Arrowhead in the playoffs where they didn't allow a punt block for a touchdown since like 93. So
But the Titans go do that, and they fire their coach. They bring in Vrabel. He goes 9-7 again. They stay the course, and then they go 9-7, but they're a much better team because they're 9-3 in their last 12, 7-3 to finish the regular season. So they're obviously getting better. But I do love the move, and I see Ryan Tannehill as their Alex Smith. Right? Like, I loved the Alex Smith move at the time. People who would later go on to say they wanted Alex Smith over Patrick Mahomes hated the Alex Smith move, ripped it. But I loved the move at the time because it got you better. No, it didn't give you your John Elway, but it got you better. And that's important because you need the other guys around him to get better. And then you keep looking for that Hall of Fame guy. You know, I can see if Vrabel, if Tannehill is his guy, and then, you know, this year they move up to number 12. And they get Tua, and they wait a year or two, and they turn it over to Tua, and Tua ends up being Patrick Mahomes, you know, nemesis. You know, the two of them battle it out their whole career. That will have been the exact same thing that the Chiefs did. I mean, you get better with the quarterback spot, and then you keep looking to get even better at the quarterback spot. I mean, that is – the Titans are just kind of following the Chiefs' blueprint, aren't they?
Yeah, and I know you guys have talked about tanking and that kind of thing, and I do think that's one of the downsides of tanking is that it's difficult to evaluate your offense when your quarterback play is below replacement level, right? And that's one of the beauties of, like, Ryan Fitzpatrick, for example, in Miami, is when they were playing with Josh Rosen, like, Devontae Parker was all of a sudden this bust, right? And at least when you get the ball on the green with a guy like Tannehill, with a guy like Fitzpatrick, Alex Smith is a lot better than that, in my opinion, but still not a Super Bowl caliber QB. You start to find out things about players, right? When Smith was in, you know, Kansas City, you found out that Chris Conley was a stiff. You found out that Albert Wilson was just okay and probably not a guy to lean into. You found out that Tyreek Hill is pretty freaking good, right? Travis Kelce's a cornerstone of the franchise, right? And when you have a quarterback that gets you on the green, that can play the position, even if he's limited to win a Super Bowl for you, it still adds some value. And you know, that was the draft in 2013 when the Chiefs were, you know, the number one pick. The highest quarterback taken that year was EJ Manuel. And you know, I'm pretty glad as a Chiefs fan that they didn't take him, right? And they prolonged it for a while. So when they got the Super Bowl caliber quarterback, they surround him with, you know, a great offense, as we just talked about. So I agree, and I think, you know, of the four season win totals that I picked for PFF, one of them was the Titans under, and that was the only one we lost. And I still think it was a good pick because if Tannehill doesn't see the field for the Titans this year, I think a lot of the same issue. I don't think they get to 500, but when he got on the field, he just moved the pocket better. He you know, withstood pressure better. He still takes a lot of sacks, and frankly, that might be one of the reasons the Chiefs win pretty handily on Sunday. But still, he navigated the pocket well. He was confident throwing the football. He was confident throwing the football down the field. And, yeah, I don't know if he's a Super Bowl-caliber quarterback, but at least he gets the Titans on the green. So now you know that A.J. Brown's good, and you know that Corey Davis is just okay. And you know Derrick Henry is a pretty good running back because he's running, you know, on second and short instead of second and 11. And it's a good thing for them.
Yeah, it is. There is a little bit of a – you know, I know it feels like the Titans are just kind of getting it going, but with Tannehill and Henry being free agents, there is a little bit of a necessity to get it done right now as well. I mean, I think they're probably going to end up overpaying Tannehill to be their quarterback, and then that'll sack their salary cap, and they'll just end up being that 6-10 to 10-6 team that's in the wash. But there is a little bit of desperation there. You mentioned, you know, all the sacks he takes and getting to him. Chiefs did a great job of overcoming not having Chris Jones last week. Was that just one brilliant scheme that they came up? Was it that this was the right team? And Deshaun Watson, a guy that'll maybe hold on to the ball too much, that was the perfect guy to play into it? Or do you think they can have that same kind of success pressuring the passer this week?
I don't know if they'll be able to get, you know, if they'll be able to get as much pressure, because Houston's offensive line has gotten better this year, but certainly isn't, you know, one of the league's best. And then, as you said, Watson's a guy who got a lot better. Like, his pressure percentage fell 5% this year, but he's still a guy that's wanted to hold on to the ball. I mean, Frank Clark went to, like, half the restaurants you promote on the show, came back and got a sack on that one third down, got a sandwich on the way. And, you know, and it's because Watson allows him to, right? And then, you know, when you look at Tannehill, he gets rid of the ball a little bit quicker. But here's this kicker. When you look at just – when he takes pressure, he takes the sack the third most in the NFL, and one of the players ahead of him is Marcus Mariota. So if you can get pressure on him, he's going to go down.
He is fairly mobile though, right? He's not gonna pinball around like Deshaun Watson, but he is a guy who played wideout in college to start at Texas A&M. So you can't lull yourself into thinking like, oh, white guy back there, so he can't move. He's a little more athletic than people give him credit for.
Right, but it's a certain thing. It's a certain Alex Smith to him though, because you know the thing that's brilliant about Mahomes, and I hate to compare him to Smith, but the thing with Smith was he was a great runner. But when he decided to run, he was running. And when he there was very rarely times where Alex Smith moved around with the idea of passing the ball. And so I think Tannehill is very similar. If Tannehill takes off, he's athletic and he can make yards downfield. But he's not going – like Watson, when Watson moves around, it's to throw the football. And so, you know, I think you just have to get to Tannehill and get your hands on him, and I think that you can bring him down. And, you know, the running will scare you a little bit, but I don't think it's as lethal as some of the other guys in the league who, you know, like Mahomes, for example, who, you know, picked up a great deal of yards with his legs. But oftentimes these players don't even come up and defend him when he runs because they're so afraid that he's going to zip the ball by him.
All right, let's take a break. One more with Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. We will talk about the special teams problems and how concerned we should be. How much can we count on them just cleaning up those issues here in 1 week? Eric Eager, data scientist from Pro Football Focus, is with us on our Sprint guest line. We're at Rally House with the best selection of Chiefs gear anywhere in the world at their big superstore, 9750 Quivira Road, and it's our 810 tailgate takeover. Of course, we've got some great tailgate food out front, thanks to our friends at Mr. Beavis Catering, as they have done a fantastic job. Some of the tailgate specials, like pulled pork sliders, sausage, smoked bologna, it's phenomenal. All of it's really good. I love the sausage, some of the best sausage I've ever had in my life. They're going to be tailgating out front until 6 o'clock or until supplies last. So I'm not sure if I need to go out and check, but I think they're still working out there. And, of course, yes, they are, as I see a dish. Ooh, he's got the bologna. Bologna is very good. Come by and check it out and get signed up to win a pair of tickets to the AFC Championship game. You've still got a little bit of time. You've got to hurry. Got about 10 minutes, 15 minutes or so to get in here and come by and grab your shot at a pair of tickets to the AFC Championship game, plus giving away $50 gift cards right here to Halley House, and Rally House, and we're going to be giving away a Frank Clark autographed football. Don't miss it. It's Rally House, 9750 Quivira.
The program with Seren Petro.
And from that moment forward, the name Seren Petro would conjure one image only. Perfection.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, you get about 8 minutes to get in here and get signed up to win a pair of tickets to the AFC Championship game. Rally House is going to give them away. They're just going to give them to somebody. We're going to draw the names. Name and be giving away a pair of tickets. We'll also be giving away one more $50 gift card to Rally House to help you get stocked up for the weekend, whether it's down in your basement watching the game with your friends or going out to the stadium. They got everything you need to be the best Chiefs fan that you could possibly be. So come out to any one of your neighborhood Rally Houses. We're at the big superstore at 9750 Quivira. So if you're driving by here, get in here really quick and get signed up. And then we're also going to give away a Frank Clark autographed football, courtesy of our friends at Tickets for Less. And you can just go to ticketsforless.com. If you don't win those tickets, they've still got great seats for this game and the Super Bowl. And I'm going to tell you, I tried to get people to get the AFC Championship game tickets before the Chiefs even had the home game. And some people listened. And some people sent me emails going, I wish I'd have listened to you when you said go ahead and get them. If you're planning on going to the Super Bowl, now is not a bad time to get those tickets, and Tickets for Less can hook you up with those. Let's talk to Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. Eric, the special teams, it has not been the typical kind of year. I brought this up to Andy Reid yesterday, and I said, hey, you've had kind of a rocky season there. And I said, you know, they got you a couple times in this game. You know, is that a concern, and can you – get your arms around the problem and solve it in 1 week? And he kind of bristled and shot back and goes, well, you know, we got them later, which he's right. They did. Dan Sorensen sniffing out the fake was a great play. They downed some punts deep, which were great plays. The kick return was a great play. So, yes, they did have their share of successes. My intent was not to say that they suck on special teams, but it hadn't been a good year. And that wasn't necessarily – it was a terrible quarter for sure. Where's your concern level that special teams could be what undoes the Chiefs' chances?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question. I think a lot of times when you look at special teams, it's a trickle-down thing where the Chiefs dealt with a lot of injuries this season, you know, in positions where, you know, players will tend to, you know, come up from special teams and play. So, for example, at cornerback, they dealt with Kendall Fuller, which meant Rashad Fenton had to play, you know, and now they're dealing with an injury to Juan Thornhill, which means Armani Watt has to play, although he only played a little bit. Daniel Sorensen as well. You know, they're playing elevated roles in regular offense and defense, and then they can't play as much on special teams. Whereas if you're a little bit more healthy, you get guys that are more core players on special teams, and that can help you out. I think it's a little bit noisy. I mean, you look at Bucker, you know, missed an extra point last week. He's missed three over the course of the season. That certainly is not good. But he did hit almost 90% of his field goals, and three of his four misses were over 50 yards. You know, he's perfect from 40 to 49. So he's had a pretty good season, all things told, the Minnesota game. You know, he was terrific. And that's, to me, the fulcrum of, you know, the focal point of them getting the first-round bye was that win with Matt Moore at quarterback. The return game, I think, you know, once they said, you know, farewell to DeAnthony Thomas, I thought it was, you know, Mecole Hardman's had a pretty good season. He had that long return against the Chargers, but he's, all, you know, he's a nice play against Houston last week as well. The real interesting thing was Tyreek Hill, one punt return all season, and not only did they have him back for the one he fumbled, but he also kind of juggled one, you know, on the other side of the field later in the game when he made a fair catch. So I think they just kind of, you know, keep Tyreek Hill away from those punts, let Hardman, you know, play well on the returns, and then, you know, hopefully Harrison Bucker can make all of his kicks on Sunday.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that can be a part of the equation as well. All right, we got about 25 seconds. How's the game play out? Who wins? What's the score?
Let's go Chiefs, obviously. And let's do 34-27.
34-27. Oh, yeah, one of those guys that's going to pick it right on the number. What a loser.
Well, over.
The over. Okay. Not going to play the game, going to play the total. I like it. Eric, you're the man, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll see you here in KC in a couple of days.
Can't wait. Go Chiefs.
All right, Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus, data scientist, does great work. Rally House, great work to them. Thanks to our friends at Mr. Beavis Catering that did an awesome job, and Rally House will be ready for you with those next-level playoff shirts right after the game on Sunday. WHB.